meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea, for the winds have changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody, welcome. TGIF. Thank God it's Friday again, the middle of November.
Again.
Yes.
In the middle, it feels like we're in the middle of winter.
We are.
Here again, we're cold. Christina, you forgot to turn the heat on.
Turn
here
up
we are.
The heat. Cool.
It'll keep us energetic, you know, so anyway.
Keep us on our feet, on our toes.
But I was listening, this morning I was listening to the news. I vowed that I would not listen to any political rhetoric ever again.
Good luck
ever
with that.
Ever again. I can't stand it. I don't like it. I'm getting sick of it.
Stuff that's going on now, my gosh.
And the I shouldn't say what I want to say.
Yeah.
Just probably, stop listening, Father.
I got to stop listening.
You have
know?
To do
it's
that.
It's the only way to maintain sanity.
I know.
That's
why I'm so sane.
I feel like we're being manipulated,
more than ever,
bullied, lied to.
Oh, yeah.
I can't stand the sound.
So what's new?
Yeah. No, really, this morning I said, you know what? No more. I'm not going to. Mm-hmm. My blood begins to boil.
Mm-hmm. I've said that many times. You'll be back.
Wow. We'll be back.
No, you'll be back. I've said it because I'm in the same spot you are right now, but many times before. And for some reason, there's just, you have to know what's going on in the world.
I will, but yeah, well, you got to, Gerald. Yeah. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're at that point in your life.
No, Father, I read the paper. I listen to the radio briefly. I'm aware of what's going on.
All right.
And
well,
I
don't
listen
get
to Channel 11. They have good
Calm
news.
Calm down. Jeez.
News at 11.
Hey, this show is going to be dedicated to you
today,
Geraldine.
Oh, that's going to be cool. Geraldine,
you
have demons in there?
No. This is well. Let me tell you a few stories. Okay, we'll start out kind of light.
Right.
And there's the readings today were absolutely beautiful. And
Jerry's on a roll.
She's always got that.
That's why
that
we love
rough
Jerry.
Edge, you know.
That's what I like about Jerry.
Yeah. Were we talking about heaven yesterday? And
just want to go home.
Desire to go there,
the
yes.
Desire to go
Father,
there.
That's why we talk
chance,
about
Father?
It all the time.
We should talk, yes. talk about it all the time. But anyway, so let's see. This is how to call the police. So when you're old and you don't move fast anymore. That's what I said. This is dedicated to you.
Thank you, Father.
When you're old and I'm getting up there too, you know, so. But I've got a long way to go yet.
Oh, I know.
But the time is going so fast.
Well, you don't have to be old to not be able to move around quickly either.
What's that?
Why are you looking at me?
You said it, Tony, not me.
Yes.
No, I said you don't have to be old to not be able to
sure.
move around quickly.
That's true. That's true. But anyway, back to the point. Mm-hmm. When you're old and you don't move fast anymore, this is a true story. This guy, George Phillips, an elderly man from Walled Lake, Michigan, was going up to bed when his wife told him that he'd left the light on in the garden shed, and she could see it from the bedroom window. So he opened the back door to go turn off the light, but he saw that there were these people in the shed stealing things.
Oh.
It's a true story. And he phoned the police, and who asked, you know, someone in your house? And he said, no, but some people are breaking into my garden shed and stealing from me. And so then the police dispatcher, he said, well, all patrols are busy. You should lock your doors, and an officer will be along. An officer will be there when one's available, when there's an officer available.
Good luck.
So he said, okay. So he hung up the phone, and he counted to 30. Then he phoned the police again. He says, hello. He says, I just called you a few seconds ago. He says, because there were people stealing things from my shed. Well, he says, you know, you don't have to worry about them because I just shot and killed them both. and the dogs are eating them right now. And he hung up. And within 5 minutes, 6 police cars, a SWAT team, a helicopter, 2 fire trucks, a paramedic, and an ambulance showed up at the Phillips residence and caught the burglars red-handed. And one of the policemen said to George, "I thought you said that you'd shot them." And George said, I thought you said there was nobody available." This is a true story.
Wow.
So don't mess with old people, right?
No, no, they're no nonsense.
No nonsense.
I like no nonsense.
There was a distraught senior citizen. He phoned her doctor's office, and she says, "Is it true?" She wanted to know that the medication you prescribed has to be taken for the rest of my life. And the doctor said, "Yes, I'm afraid so." And there was a moment of silence before the senior lady replied, "Well, I'm wondering then just how serious is my condition, because this prescription is marked no refills." You know what I mean?
Yes, I know.
An older gentleman was on the operating table. This is a good one. They're all good, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're pretty good.
Yeah, they are.
But the first one was a true story.
Right.
An older gentleman was on the operating table awaiting surgery, and he insisted that his son, a renowned surgeon, perform the operation. As he was about to get the anesthesia, what did he say, anesthesia?
Yeah.
Anesthesia, he asked to speak to his son. "And yes, Dad, what is it?" He says, "Don't be nervous, son. Do your best. And just remember, if it doesn't go well, if something happens to me, your mother is going to come and live with you and your wife."
Oh.
How about that?
What a threat. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Aging. Eventually, you will reach a point when you stop lying about your age and start bragging about it. This is so true. I love to hear them say, "You don't look that old." I don't get that one. Whatever. Let's see. The older we get, the fewer things seem worth waiting in line for, mostly because we forget why we were waiting in line in the first place.
I was just talking about that.
You were. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's about you forget what you're going for.
Yeah. You're referring to yourself.
Oh, yeah, I forget all the time.
Yeah.
But thanks to my guardian angel.
No, it happens to me, too. I go through this all the time where I'm looking for my keys, and I'm looking, I'm searching, I'm all over the place, and then I end up finding them, I'm holding them in my hand.
Yeah.
Has that ever happened to you?
Yeah, all the time.
Or your glasses, Father, that happens a lot.
Yeah.
You're wearing them.
I'm wearing them, and I'm looking for them.
And you have them on.
Figure it out. Some people try to turn back their odometers, not me. I want people to know why I look this way. I've traveled a long way, and some of the roads weren't paved.
Okay.
That's good.
That's a good one. When you are dissatisfied and would like to go back to youth, think of algebra. That's okay. It's not funny. But one of the many things no one tells you about aging is that it's such a nice change from being young. I don't get that. That's not true, is it? Maybe no. Because of the wisdom you acquire over the years, huh?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't
Depends.
Think so.
How about this? But being young is beautiful, but being old is comfortable.
Yes and no.
I don't know.
Maybe because when you get older, you don't care really much what people think of you.
Maybe.
When you're younger, you're always worried. What are they going to think?
First you forget. Oh, I'm not going to go into this one. This is kind of... This is cute. Two guys, one old, one young, are pushing their carts around Walmart. And when they collide, and the old guy says to the young guy, "Sorry about that, but I'm looking for my wife, and I guess I wasn't paying attention to where I was going." And the young guy says, "That's okay. It's a coincidence, because I'm looking for my wife, too. I can't find her, and I'm getting a little desperate." So the old guy says, "Well, maybe I can help you find her. What does she look like?" The young guy says, "Well, she's 27 years old. She's tall with red hair, blue eyes, is buxom, you know."
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to go into this other stuff that says long legs and is wearing short shorts.
Ooh.
And then the young man says, "What does your wife look like?" And to which the old guy says, "Doesn't matter. Let's look for yours." Doesn't matter. Let's look for yours.
That's a good one.
Anyway, so that's in honor of your...
aging.
Your
or wisdom. Or
your whatever. Your disposition. Disposition. So, well... So I was trying to download. There's a lot of things that some interesting stuff that I found this morning. Boy, I tell you, I got the letter done. I've had to do letters every day this week.
Yes.
Every day.
So you did 3 letters this week.
I did 3 letters this week, so.
You were on a roll.
I was on a roll. Well, I had to be.
I had no choice. Yes.
But the point is, you know, that you get it done, but it's a lot of, you put a lot of you put a lot of your mind into it. So, anyway, let's see. Well, I'll tell you, let's just let's go with what where do we want to go?
You name it, Father.
You tell us, and we follow.
You tell us.
We follow you.
Well, let's the Pope. Mm-hmm. We always go back to him. By the way, you know, I was out in the midst of all this stuff going on today. I had to make an errand, and so it's true now, the Christmas music and Christmas trees.
I've heard the Christmas music.
And the Christmas trees. Mm. They're in the lots.
Oh, the to lots. Sell.
To
okay.
sell, yeah.
And the stores, what did you think they've been there already for like...
Yeah. No, but they're in, you can buy your Christmas tree now, Geraldine. It'll take you that long to decorate it. She puts a bulb on a day, right?
I don't buy them anymore.
You don't buy them anymore? No.
No.
No, they got the pre-lit trees now.
They do, yeah.
Yeah, those are nice.
Yeah. Anyway, this is all kind of related, I think. Well, we'll see how the Spirit... well, let me just begin with this. I'm sorry, I'm going to be all over the place here.
It's Friday.
You know, there was a series of articles, and I couldn't get to them all, but they are basically the same overriding theme. And it seems to be that in so many parts of the world, and here as well, there is this interest in the demonic, or the need to bring into play the exorcism prayer or exorcisms. Mm-hmm. And there's the church has seen an increase.
Yes.
You know, in fact, the there were the exorcist meeting in Rome this past, I think it was last week or something, and they, I know the bishops in the USCCB, the bishops just approved the new revision of the exorcism, the rite of exorcism, which not everybody, not every priest has the, I think you have to have a special, permission. You have to be, I'm at a loss for words.
Not a degree,
but you're given the faculties for that,
okay.
I guess. Anybody, I mean, you have to, there are a certain number of exorcists, official exorcists in the various dioceses. Now, that doesn't mean we don't, offer exorcism prayers, but I mean that the full rite of exorcism, to check into that a little bit. But in any case, so I was reading about this Archbishop Zapata from Colombia, and he's instructed all the local parishes to offer an exorcism prayer because of the alarming increase in suicides in his archdiocese.
Mm.
And just in this year, in 2014, 70 people have committed suicide in the region. And violence has also been on the rise. And so last Sunday, the archdiocese sponsored a day of exorcism. The archbishop said that in today's world, there's a culture of permissiveness. And what disturbs us is that Satanism has also spread among our young people.
Mm-hmm.
The archbishop said that in all the churches in the archdiocese, that the prayer of Pope Leo XIII should be recited. The asking St. Michael the Archangel to defend families and young people from demonic temptations and attacks on life. Now, we've been praying the St. Michael prayer here for many, many years. I started that back in 1999 when we made the consecration of the parish to the Blessed Virgin, because we saw all kinds of things begin to happen.
Yeah.
There was well, you remember, Kristen.
Well, the gang violence in the neighborhood.
There was all kinds of stuff
and other going on. Things happening, you know, with the families.
Continue.
But the
point, these things are happening all over the place. But, I mean, there was just, you felt this force working against the good that we believe God was trying to do, certainly that we were trying to be obedient and submissive and docile to the will of God. And... To be obedient, but there were just the forces working against us. It was, and so with that we begin to pray the Saint Michael prayer after. Mm-hmm. I do it after all the masses, and thanks be to God. You know, we're not only have we been sustained, but good things happen. you know. And it's not like we've got it's not a spectacle, which in a moment I'm going to get to something the Pope said about the kingdom of God in our midst, referring to the gospel reading yesterday. But I thought, wow, it's so true, so beautiful that the kingdom of God is not a spectacle. It grows almost in a hidden way among us. But anyway, we'll get to that in a moment. But so this is the in Colombia. The Archbishop said that he spoke about the crisis of values, the lack of family unity, that this generates unhealthy behavior of aggression toward others as well as suicide. And especially in schools, he said, we've got to sow values like respect and love for human life. And what are we looking for? Is that young people understand that God is the Lord, God is the only Lord of people's lives. The problem, he said, is that nowadays people don't speak about God. Mm-hmm. Just as yesterday we were saying that we don't speak about heaven. We don't speak about last things, what lies beyond, you know. So it's very interesting. The other thing, and it's kind of related to this, but we'll come back. This is why the church needs reform, and how do you evangelize? You know, we speak often of the new evangelization, but what does that mean? How do we do that? Mm-hmm. How do we do that? What must we do? What are the signs of the times? The landscape has changed. You know, how do we deal with this is a cardinal or a theologian rather who's 80 years old, who speaks about he's looking at, you know, what does it mean to re-Christianize society through the new evangelization? And he says, you know, his sense is that we don't get it, we don't understand, that mm-hmm. it's got to be people to people, that the norm for the propagation of the faith didn't rest in the hands of missionaries, but it was something that happened from parent to parents to their children, people to people. But anyway, we'll look at that briefly, and then when we come back, and then what the Pope had to say about the kingdom of God as being in our midst, referring to the words of Jesus. So don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Winds of Change is pleased to tell you that Juliana Tamarazzi of the Iraqi Christian Relief Council will speak about the persecution of Christians in Iraq at St. Mary of the Angels, 1850 North Hermitage Avenue in Chicago, at their St. Jose Maria Chapel and Museum Room this Friday, November 14th. After the 7 p.m. catered dinner, Juliana will speak at 8 p.m. as part of their second Friday speaker series. $10 donation at the door, or bring a dessert to share and learn how you can help your brothers and sisters in Christ in the Middle East. RSVP to Christian at 773-578-0765. That's 773-578-0765. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. Winds of Change broadcasts from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, located two blocks north off Division on Noble at the Division Street exit off the Kennedy. Since 1867, St. Stanislaus Kostka Church has been serving the faithful of Chicagoland since 1867. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, can continue its mission to bring Christ to His people. Please donate now by going to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the donations link to make a secure donation with a major credit card or debit card. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, will continue its restoration and will continue to thrive for the body of Christ.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us on this cold, wintry Friday in Chicago. Wintry, I guess you could call it wintry, right? Or would you? Would the implication be that it would be snowing outside? There'd be a
blizzard? No, wintry is cold. It is cold. Well as snow. Yes,
it's cold and
it's going to get colder. By the way, did
I know.
Yes.
I'm ready.
Did winter start already?
It's
December
21st.
That's
not,
okay.
Know.
That's weird.
But anyway, it feels like it.
But it puts you in the spirit of the season. So,
yeah.
So this theologian Dianic, that's his name, Dianic.
Dianic.
Yeah. Yeah. From Italy. It doesn't sound like an Italian name, though.
No, it doesn't.
Yannick. But anyway, he speaks about the new evangelization. The implication is almost that we need to get, you know, we've got to put that word aside because we don't seem to know what it really means.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that in so many parts of the world, the faith has been passed on from parents to children down through the family. For 1,500 years, that missionaries passed the faith on in lands where the gospel had not been proclaimed. But the normal life of the church had been conceived without missionaries, and that this Christian society, as it once was, a society in which the evangelization process happened through parents and children. He says that it does not exist. It simply does not exist anymore. He says even in Italy, which is considered a stronghold of the Catholic faith, child baptisms have dropped to under 70%, and only 3 or 4 out of 10 families are built on the Christian sacrament
mm-hmm.
of marriage. And he believes this is going to continue to plunge. So he said, but the idea of the new evangelization corresponds to the idea of being able to go back. He said, but we cannot go back. The reality has changed, and the point being is that it's got to be people to people. And he makes an interesting statement here. He says it's interesting. He says that we put so much emphasis on a papal document or an encyclical. He says we consider it to be more important, a papal document, than a homily pronounced as part of a Eucharistic celebration.
Mm.
And he says, and yet, because this whole, the point of his sense is that that the faith has got to be transmitted through the sacraments.
Mm-hmm.
Even, you know, let's say catechism class or school, it's through the sacraments. It's people to people, one-on-one encounter, even within the body. And the body of Christ. He talks about the focus of the dominant culture has been on individuals and their freedom, which has led toward isolation.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a weaker sense of the collective. But the best way to transmit the faith is through direct person-to-person contact. He says you can't get around this. The faith is transmitted through the sacraments, not through teaching, or through propaganda, he would use the word propaganda, but the life of grace is transmitted through the sacraments, and the sacraments are not celebrated at a distance, but only through contact among people, you know, that we hear the word the words of absolution, that we receive from another, the Holy Eucharist, that we, you know, the community brings a child for baptism, the parents. And so when he makes this point about the papal documents, the encyclical is not to diminish the importance of that, but that we don't lose sight of that. You know, his emphasis is on the power of the homily, that the preaching pronounced is part of the Eucharistic celebration. And this is where the sacramental source of life finds its highest expression. And he says this is why Pope Francis has been, or he seems to have grasped this and put it into practice with his daily homilies at St. Martha's House. And those homilies, of course, are published. We talk about that often here. I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. Anyway, I thought it was an interesting...
And it makes sense, Father, because you know how God, we've talked about how God has that personal relationship with us, and that's how people are moved through our testimonies.
Sure.
And having that that personal encounter.
Well, Jesus, you know, even another, exactly, yeah. But even in the gospel, that's what we see. Mm-hmm. Jesus goes out. You know, when the Pope, he keeps saying we got to go out of ourselves. You know, I was talking to somebody yesterday. I've mentioned it here certainly, but it's not so much that I can go out of the parish, mm-hmm. you know, because the world comes into the parish, mm-hmm. and so it's very important that people know that the doors are open, right? That people know. There was the what happened in the 1970s, and I think this is what. Where some people may take issue mm-hmm. with when the Pope was so certainly in the beginning that emphasis you gotta get out, you know, go out of the parish, get out, but who goes out? It's the people have to mm-hmm. go out. What happened in the 1970s, the 1960s, and the 1970s is that to a large extent parishes were. You know, all of a sudden the priests, they left the sanctuaries. The sisters left the schools, and they left their, you know, people went into their own private ministry or their private. And what happened was then things got kind of flipped upside down.
And there was a misinterpretation because it didn't mean leave the churches and leave the churches open. It means you come here to church and you're fed. You so often say we're fed with the body in the blood of Christ and in the sacraments. And then this is a preparation for us to, when we go out back to our families, our friends, out into the world, we bring them Christ and we bring them back home.
Right. There's got to be, you know, there has to be that. And see, this is and he has in his apostolic exhortation mm-hmm. on the joy of the gospel, the Pope spoke about the necessity to open the doors of the church. Mm-hmm. So on one hand, you know, we have to mm-hmm. go out. That's properly the work of the laity.
Yes,
is in the world. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're in the world, but not of the world.
Yes.
But as you said, you know, as we say, as a church understands, you know, in the celebration of the Eucharist, we're fed. Well, let's say there's the liturgy, the two major parts of the mm-hmm. Of the Mass, which is. Means missio. This is a mission that we come as a people with a mission by virtue of our baptism and our confirmation, by virtue of the fact that we're fed with the body, the blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. We have a mission, so we have a responsibility and obligation to participate, at least in give public witness and worship, give witness in public worship on Sundays. Now that's the day of the resurrection, and so that's an obligation binding. It's a binding obligation on all Catholics that they participate in the celebration of the Mass. And that Mass is divided into two major parts, the liturgy of the Word and the liturgy of the Eucharist. So we begin, and it goes back to Jesus on the road to Emmaus, and he finds these disciples, and he begins by, you know, opening up the Word, explaining to them what was written, why mm-hmm. this had to happen. You know, they were distraught and saddened, and their hope had died because Jesus had died. They hadn't yet the experience of the risen Christ. He was in their midst. They didn't recognize him until he took the bread and he blessed it and he gave thanks. He broke it and he gave it, and then he vanished and he left the bread. So the point being that we have a blueprint for the Mass right there. We begin by, first of all, certainly we acknowledge that we're sinners, right? We acknowledge our sinfulness in the beginning as we come. We're coming out of the world into the sacred space for the encounter, right? To be reminded, to be fed. So we're first fed at the table of the Word, at the ambo from the Word of God, the Scripture. That's the first part. And then after that, we go to the table of the altar of sacrifice, mm-hmm. which becomes then the banquet table, the table of the supper of the Lamb. And so we're fed with the body, the blood, and so the soul and divinity of Christ, with the Eucharistic bread or the hidden manna. I always like to mm-hmm. refer to that because that's how it's referred to in the book of Revelation, the hidden manna, the Eucharistic gift, the Eucharistic bread, the body of Christ, bread from heaven that we not collapse mm-hmm. as we go on our way, and that we go forth, and that we be sustained, and that we're giving witness, that we're in mission. So then we're sent back out into the world mm-hmm. to be a people with a mission. And that mission begins, as the theologian is pointing out here, that the implication is that it's people to people contact, you know, that there's witness that we people to people, and it begins in the home.
Yes,
it's in the family, and that's a primary responsibility of the parents to pass on, yes, to hand on the faith, to inculcate, to teach, to witness, yes, the faith, to teach the prayers, to live according to the commandments of God, to be leaders of prayer, right? To make sure that our children, you know, as they're growing up, they become comfortable with, mm-hmm, prayer. Yes. They learn to, I think of some parents so often how they, in fact, where was I? I was just somewhere just recently. The parents were so excited because the child learned how to make the sign of the cross.
Beautiful.
You know? Mm-hmm. And I remember even going back to when I first got here, Bibi Barajas. Mm-hmm. I always remember my first sight of this child who couldn't hear and couldn't speak, you know? And she's a young woman now, a beautiful young woman. But I remember her father, you know, it was one of my first, it may have been my first mass, evening mass on Sunday. And I remember going into the sanctuary, I'm setting up the altar, and Jaime, her father, had her at the Blessed Sacrament. Mm. And he was teaching her to make the sign of the cross. It was very beautiful.
Yes. And it was
very
so beautiful when she turned 15. Yes. She had her mass. And went over after the communion, we have the tradition of presenting our Blessed Mother and Thanksgiving a bouquet of flowers.
Right.
And so when they went up there, that was very moving.
Sure
to
was,
see
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Just to that, again, giving testimony of the faith.
Right. Yeah, actually, this will be a nice transition into this next segment where we look at the kingdom of God as not a spectacle, but it grows in the lives of many families, as the Holy Father said. And just keeping in mind what the theologian said. Danyach. What is his name? Dianech. Dianech. But in any case, that it doesn't exist as it did.
No.
And what's it going to take to bring us to reappreciate, yes, the need for marriage, the need for family? I think I shared with you, all of you, a couple of weeks ago when I was in New York, and when I came back, you know, that this was before the synod, in preparation for the synod, which is dealing with marriage and family. And there was all this controversy as we kept hearing about, you know. But I, watching, observing people, and people are basically good, you know. But there is this disconnect. And I remember as I'm watching and as I'm listening and I'm praying and wondering and thinking, you know, what, as a priest, what do we do? What do we do? And it says, even no matter what the church does, no matter what comes of the synod, until people realize, until they humbly realize, hey, you know, something is amiss. People know it. People know it because people tell me all the time. I hear it all the time. Yeah, everything is upside down, but we kind of crawl into our own little corner, mm-hmm, of the world, and we medicate or soothe our pain one way or, yes, the other, right? And we just disengage, kind of like this morning. I said, you know, the political stuff, I am sick of it. You know, I just can't stand the sound of certain, can I just say it? I just can't listen to the president. I can't listen to him. I can't listen to him.
I never did.
I'm sorry, but I can't. I just can't. I have to turn it off, you know? Mm-hmm. But the point is that, you know, so you want to just kind of go into your own little corner of the world, and mm-hmm, but, you know, we can't. Well, I guess we could do that, and many do, but we really shouldn't. You know, we have to be in the battle, mm-hmm, fighting the good fight, but claiming the victory, and we've got to be able to be willing to weather the storms. But if there's nobody to preach the gospel, nobody to tell the good news, nobody to extend the invite, you know, then naturally, people isolate. Cyberspace, right?
And then the beauty of that, when we come here, we're not alone. Of course, God is with us, but there's other people. Mm-hmm. The beauty that we support each other when we come together here at Mass to support each other, yeah, and to know that we're together, mm-hmm, in this.
Yeah, that's why Jesus founded, mm-hmm, the church,
yes,
right? The,
yes,
family, mm-hmm, of God.
Yes, and that's,
yeah,
important.
So we'll come back and we'll talk about the domestic church, the family, mm-hmm, and how important that is to the future of our civilization. Of our, mm-hmm, civilization. All right, everybody, we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
You've heard us say that Winds of Change is listener-supported. That means you help us stay on the air with your dollars and your prayers. And we are asking for that help now. Please take a moment and go to our website, windsofchangeshow.com. That's windsofchangeshow.com. On the upper right-hand side of the page, there is a link. Support Winds of Change Show. Click on that link and donate securely with any major credit card. With your help, Winds of Change will continue to bring you the truth. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. Winds of Change is pleased to tell you that Juliana Tamarazzi of the Iraqi Christian Relief Council will speak about the persecution of Christians in Iraq at St. Mary of the Angels, 1850 North Hermitage Avenue in Chicago, at their St. Jose Maria Chapel and Museum Room this Friday, November 14th. After the 7 p.m. catered dinner, Juliana will speak at 8 p.m. as part of their second Friday speaker series. $10 donation at the door or bring a dessert to share and learn how you can help your brothers and sisters in Christ in the Middle East. RSVP to Christian at 773-578-0765. That's 773-578-0765.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us on this Friday, cold Friday in Chicago, getting close to Christmas. Not Christmas, but Thanksgiving. Coming up.
Why do we keep forgetting Thanksgiving?
Well, I didn't mean to. You know?
No. I was in the doctor's office, and it was the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like, what happened at Thanksgiving? Yeah, it's right. Christmas.
Yeah. We had the gospel the other day. It made me think of the, because it's the popular gospel reading for Thanksgiving Day, but Jesus is walking. I forget where exactly he was, but there were the 10 lepers, you know, and they cry out, you know, Son of David, have pity on us. And the Lord says, he looks at them and he just says, go and show yourselves to the priests. And so they went, and on the way, they were cleansed. They were healed. And only one came back to say thank you. And he was a Samaritan. He pointed out, the gospel points out that he was a Samaritan. He was a foreigner. And the others were Israelites, Jews. And Jesus says, you know, sadly, he says, how is it? He says, where are the other nine? Where are the other nine? How is it that only one has come back and this one being a foreigner, right? What happened to the other nine? And I think he said, your faith has saved you or something. I don't remember exactly, but it was there's a certain sadness in his voice, you know. But I tell you, you know, we even just talking about the crisis in the family and the need for a witness, you know, that we give witness, that we share the faith, that we need each other. We can't, and people do isolate, and they don't know what to do. They're looking for some kind of liberal, you know, give me a reason to have joy, give me a reason to have hope, set me free. You know, I was talking to a man yesterday who was so impressed, you know, and I hear this so often. We've shared different stories, but this gentleman came to St. Stan's about 5 years ago. I guess it was 5 years ago. In fact, he was on our show. He was on our show once giving his own story, but I have to, he shared it again with me yesterday, but he had been out there. He had great job, made lots of money. Mm-hmm. He had, you know, women at his beck and call, you know, not that saying anything was bad, but you know, it's just the point is that he had everything. He traveled, and in the eyes of the world, he had everything. But he said he felt this emptiness. He felt he had everything, but he had nothing. And he felt this emptiness, and somehow he found his way through the doors of this church. And he said he just got on his knees, went down on his knees, and he said, Lord, he said, Jesus, you've got to direct my life. You've got to, you know, there was this disconnect. We talk about this disconnect. You know, when you just live from one moment to the next, you live for the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And you have no view of the past and no view to the future. It's a empty, lonely kind of an experience, a kind of experience of life. even though you've got money, you've got the great job, you've got the, you know, the women, you got everything you want, everything that the world says is going to make you happy, everything that the world tells you is going to make you happy. He's got it all, but he had nothing. Mm-hmm. And that experience, just getting down on his knees, and, you know, that was his moment of conversion. It was his moment of, it was a metanoia. It was the moment of repentance. It was a moment of change. It was a new beginning. And he became a new man. He became a new man. And, you know, just seeing him and talking to him, listening to him, you think, you know, because, again, you forget. Have you always had the faith? I mean, you've always had this? He says, no. Mm-hmm. But you know, so it's like people are out there. And here we say, you know, Lord, show us a way. Give us a – instruct us. And give us, by the grace of your Spirit, transform us so that we might be that leaven that you speak about. Jesus says you got to be the leaven. You're going to be the salt, be the light. So, you know, I don't know how to be the light. I don't know how to be the leaven, to be the salt. So what do? I just give my life to you. I give my life to you, and here I come to you, you know, and we have to come humbly, right, in humility before the Lord, in our nakedness, really, in our nakedness, you know, not we don't have to put on a holy face or a happy face, or we have to play any games for Jesus, you know, because it doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. In fact, that becomes the impediment. That would be like the Pharisee in the temple. You know, there was the tax collector who was a prostrate, and he was beating his chest, and he said, "Lord, have mercy on me. I am a sinner." And the Pharisee says, "Ah, you know, God, thank you. I'm not like this." The tax collector, you know, says, "I obey the commandments. I give to the poor. I pay my tithe.
I'm so wonderful.
Well, I'm so good."
Yeah, it goes on, and you know, and Jesus says, you know, he says, "This tax collector, together with the prostitutes, will be first in heaven before the Pharisee." Mm-hmm. So on the surface, everything looked like it was just fine, but Jesus knew what was in his heart, or what was not in his heart. Maybe we should say what was not in his heart. So it's but people are looking, I think. They want to know that there's a door open.
Yes.
There's a door open. And I tell you, just listening to this guy's story, and there's so many like that, it gives me a great sense of
hope. Right?
Hope. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that it's not so much. Yeah, of course we've got to respond. You know, the Lord, he extends the invitation.
Right.
Somehow, somehow we hear. You know, somehow, you know. Okay, so I hit rock bottom, or I all of a sudden realize I've got everything, but I have nothing. You know how it is sometimes when you strive for something and you really work hard at it, you work very, very hard at it, and you attain to that what you wanted, and then you got it, and then you realize, you know,
it's nothing.
It's nothing.
Okay. Yeah.
You know what it's like?
I know. Yeah.
Or you want more, and that's not satisfying, because only God can satisfy us.
To embrace precious nothingness, so that God can become
everything.
As I was talking to somebody else yesterday too, and it's just a problem with somebody in the family, and you know, what do I do? You know, because I've been hurt, I've been wounded. I'm using my word here, you know, because I always use that word wounded. But the point is that, you know, there's this anger and there's this
resentment,
you know, the resentment, and you know, this. Temptation for, you know, this wanting to get revenge. You know what I mean? You know, Geraldine.
Yes,
you know,
I'll get you. Watch out, Father. I'll get you.
Exactly. And I'll get you too, you know. I'm not as kind and docile as you think, you know.
Yeah, Father said it.
Yeah. Christine. but anyway, so.
I feel good because I thought this was about me, but thank you.
Well, it is. It's coming. It's coming down to you.
It's coming your way.
So anyway, it applies to all of us.
Yeah, exactly.
So
sure
the point being is, so what do I do? Because being a Christian, don't you hate when somebody says, you know, because I'm a Christian, I'm not going to say this to you, or because, you know, no.
Right. But
no,
say it anyway.
But she's saying, you know, really, you know, I'm struggling because as a follower of Christ, as a Christian, as a Catholic, I know that I'm really trying to work against everything inside me that wants to lash out or wants to get vengeance or wants to say, you know, why did you do this to us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what do you do? So she says, what do I do? What should I do? I said, but see, this is precisely why Christ has to be first, you know?
Oh, yes.
Because I said, this is a struggle. We all go through that. And it is a struggle. It's a major struggle. But I said, you know, but what does it do? It should bring us, okay, I got to cleave to the Lord. Got to give my life. This idea of surrender, this idea of the offering, the giving mm-hmm. of ourselves is something that happens all the time. We have to do it every day. Certainly every time we go to Mass, that's what we do. Should be conscious of that.
Yes.
The offering, our offering, we unite our offering to that of Christ through Jesus to the Father. But when we come to discover that, you know, we're not alone and that the Lord is there to lift us up and that He's enough. You know, then we have nothing to lose. Okay, so it's like water off my back. You know, so if I'm confident and secure in my relationship with God, and we're all working towards that, then I'm much freer. I'm more free to love. I'm more free to give without expecting anything in return. You know, it's a letting. You got to let go of these because it's who's suffering here? Who's suffering here?
Me.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. This is, by the way, this is what it means to have an unforgiving heart, yeah. you know, because there's a certain power in that. You see, if I can just, you know, what is it? If I can, you know, I can feel this angst or this anger or this vengeance, you know, somehow I think I'm punishing that person, but I'm not. That mm-hmm. person may be completely unaware.
Right.
I'm suffering, you know, yes. What a wasted energy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But to let it go, you got to know that Christ is enough. And we all know that, you know, when you love somebody, yeah, if you've been in love, you know, and, you know, I I'm a priest 30 years. So, you know, when I say that, people say, I can say, I know what that's like, you know. So what are we talking about? Okay, so I was 12 years old and there was a Glennis, you know, a little girl named Glennis. Yeah, I'm not just joking. But you know, we go through that, even a pub, yeah. you know, whatever, where you just like.
Or even like your own family,
yeah,
like your.
Yeah, but.
You know, so yeah. the ones that you most love are the ones that hurt you the most.
But I'm talking about when you become infatuated with someone, you just kind of fall in love, you know, like you just fall in love. It's like, this person's enough.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else matters.
Yeah, and you want to be with them.
It doesn't matter what you say to me. It doesn't matter what mm-hmm. anybody says. Anybody, you can do anything you want because somehow I believe or I know or I love and I feel like I'm, you know, even if it's a fantasy.
Sure.
But it's, you know, teenagers go through that, right?
Mm-hmm.
They get lost in that. And, you know, I've been there. I know what that's like. And so nothing else bothers me. It doesn't mm-hmm. bother me. Doesn't bother me. Whatever you can say whatever you want because I'm in love. I'm in love and this is my bliss. This is my my nirvana. This is my mm-hmm. heaven. This is, you know, it's a fleeting reality, right? Because it's not real. I mean, it's real to a certain extent, but the point is that everything eventually should bring us to God. And when we can let go and, you know, come to the Lord and let him take possession of our lives and realize that he is enough. And then we want this precious nothingness, God be everything, because there's a great freedom in that, so that there is, you know, no strings attached. Mm-hmm. You know, Barrington Bunny, you know, remember the story?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll talk about that at Christmas time, you know?
Yes.
But anyway, you know, all the animals in the forest are your friends or your family, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we should take a break, and then we'll, I wanted to get in, and we'll come back and look at the kingdom of God is not a spectacle. I think it's real. We'll make it relate to what I'm talking about here.
Good.
Okay? So don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen and Support of Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Winds of Change broadcasts from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, located two blocks north off Division on Noble at the Division Street exit off the Kennedy. Since 1867. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church has been serving the faithful of Chicagoland since 1867. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, can continue its mission to bring Christ to his people. Please donate now by going to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the donations link to make a secure donation with a major credit card or debit card. With your help, St. Stanislaus Koska, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, will continue its restoration and will continue to thrive for the body of Christ. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Forming Faithful Families is now offering our 15-episode video series on DVD, filmed in stunning high definition with a free downloadable Small Faith Discussion Group program guide. We hope that you will consider purchasing, implementing, and promoting this video series at the personal and small group level. Forming Faithful Families is a faithful and trustworthy parish-based and small faith community program for marriage and family life faith formation in service to the new evangelization pertaining to the Catholic faith. Listen to this recommendation. Firmly grounded in the teaching of the Catholic Church, sacred scripture, and the wisdom of the saints, with this series, James and Kathleen offer a thirsty world a refreshing and satisfying drink. It also makes a great gift with eternal benefits for both the giver and the receiver. To order your DVD set today, visit formingfaithfulfamilies.com or call 708-334-1988. That's formingfaithfulfamilies.com or call 708-334-1988.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us as we, I guess we kind of wrap up already. We're almost at the end of the at the end of the hour. So the Pope, was it today or yesterday? I believe it was today. He was speaking about the kingdom of God is not a spectacle taken from the gospel. It was yesterday's gospel. That Jesus, I didn't bring it with me, but the Pharisees were, you know, talking about the kingdom, you know, something about the when's it going to come or something. I don't remember the exact word for word, but, and Jesus said, no, the kingdom of God is in your midst. Don't go looking here or there. That's what, don't go and look at, you know, they're going to say, he's there, go over. Mm-hmm. No, he says, it's the kingdom of God is in your midst. You know, as long as I'm here with you, the kingdom of God is here. And of course, the Lord is Jesus is with us through the sacraments and through the Word of God and through the body through the church. So the Holy Father was saying that it's a celebration, not the kingdom of God is a celebration, not a noisy celebration though. The kingdom of God grows in silence. For example, in a family that makes it to the end of the month with only half a euro. It's not a spectacle, even though our human weakness prefers spectacle.
Mm-hmm.
And even though some make even a spectacle out of the sacrament of marriage, it's in the silence of a home where there may only be, as he said, 50 cents left until the end of the month, but where there is always prayer, where there's care for children and grandparents, there is the kingdom of God. This is one of the beautiful things about him as well, is that he speaks often about the older, the grandparents, because he had his own very positive experience of having his grandparents in the home. And so he says, this is far from the noise of the crowd because the kingdom of God does not attract attention in the same way a seed that grows underground does not attract attention. So this was, again, based on the gospel. The Pharisees, they ask when the kingdom of God would come, and Jesus says, you know, a day will come when they will say to you, there he is or here he is.
Mm-hmm.
Do not go, do not follow them, because the kingdom of God is not a spectacle.
Yeah.
A spectacle. The Lord never says that the kingdom of God is a spectacle. It is a celebration, but that is different. Certainly, it's a beautiful celebration, a great celebration, and heaven will be a celebration, but not a spectacle. We were asking about that yesterday, right, about heaven, mm-hmm. what is heaven like? However, our human weakness prefers the spectacle. Celebrations are often transformed into spectacles. Weddings, for example, he says, where people seem more intent on putting on a fashion show,
yes.
Being seen, vanity, rather than receiving the sacrament. The kingdom of God is silent. It grows inside. The Holy Spirit nourishes it through our willingness in our land, which we have to prepare. The day will come. Yes, the day will come when the kingdom will be manifest in all its power, but it will only be at the end of time. By the way, these readings this morning, that was yesterday's, that was with the Holy Father, but do you remember that first reading from today, the church's reading from the second letter of John?
Yeah.
We rarely hear that because it's such a short letter, but he says, chosen lady,
mm-hmm.
which is in reference to the church, right, yeah. to the church, chosen lady, I rejoice greatly to find some of your children, that's the members of the church, walking in the truth just as we were commanded by the Father. But now, lady, I ask you, not as though I were writing a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, let us love one another. For this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, as you heard from the beginning, in which you should walk. Now, he says, many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. Such is the deceitful one and the Antichrist. Look at yourselves that you do not lose what we worked for, but may receive a full recompense. Anyone who is so progressive as not to remain in the teaching of the Christ, does not have God. Whoever remains in the teaching has the Father and the Son. You know, what's fascinating is you know, we look at what's happening today, you know, in the world,
mm-hmm.
in the church, and then you read the letters, the epistles, the letters, here the letter of St. John, the second letter, it's directed at the church, Our Lady, or Dear Lady, what does he say?
Chosen lady.
Chosen Lady is referring to the church. The church is the spouse to the Lord, the bride. Jesus, the bridegroom. The church is a bride. He is a head. She is the body. And chosen lady, I rejoice greatly to find your children walking in the truth. But be careful, be aware
mm-hmm.
that there are the deceivers who think themselves so progressive.
Or enlightened.
as not to remain in the teaching of the Christ. Of the Christ, they do not have God. They do not remain in the teaching.
No.
Those who do not remain in the teaching do not have the Father and the Son. But I tell you, it's very, when you think about that,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then, of course, Jesus, you know, in the gospel today, we'll just kind of conclude with that. But because we're at the end of the year, so he's talking about that as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man, that they were eating and drinking, they were marrying, given in marriage up to the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. And he says, so it will be. Oh, we don't have time to go into the whole thing. Maybe we'll come back to that. But it's a very graphic gospel because he ends, mm-hmm. he says, where the body is, there also the vultures will be. In other words, we get this theme of be vigilant, be alert, be awake, cleave to the Lord, obey the commandments, take care of each other. And don't leave yourselves to be deceived, to be seduced. Don't buy into the illusion. Don't conform yourselves to the age, the current age in which we live, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, as St. Paul would say, and I believe in his letter to the Romans, you know. I have to be very vigilant. This is the theme, as we end the year, because we're almost at the end of the year, and as we begin the year with the season mm-hmm. of Advent. All right, everybody, have a wonderful weekend. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
Amen.
Makes no sense. Do we search deep for truth or sit on the